You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Watching television news and reading of increasing crime and violence can be extremely depressing. Crumbling social conditions also tormented the prophet Jeremiah, but God promised strength and hope.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, send thy spirit to break our pride. Send thy spirit to convict our hearts of sin. Send thy spirit to draw us to the forgiving, healing, and strengthening arms of thy Son, our Savior. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Some months ago, the staff of a well-known news magazine undertook a special project. Several writers were assigned to interview as many people as possible across the country and to learn what people are thinking and how they are feeling. As a result, these investigating journalists claim to have found, and I quote, a marked sense of economic, social, and moral decline. Such an indicting evaluation of our current social situation is usually quickly dismissed as unrealistic. It is frequently shrugged off and put down, with disdainful and casual comments such as too simplistic, an overreaction, or don't be so negative, think positive. Things were just as bad 50 years ago, but the world is still around. However, when one realizes that each day someone is raped every 8 minutes, murdered every 27 minutes, robbed every 78 seconds, and that a burglar strikes every 10 seconds, then the unbiased report of these journalists, which forecasts a cloudy and uncertain future, begins to be very real. Did you know that as a result of our moral values, which have shifted dramatically in the past 2 decades, every day 2,700 teenage girls get pregnant? Every 10 days, over 27,000 teenage girls are faced with the traumatic realization that they will soon be mothers, and that many of them will be facing their dilemma with neither the training nor the finances to handle their situation. And if that is not sobering enough, contemplate the fact that 50% of all children, half of all babies now being born, will be raised in a single-parent home at some time before they are 18 years of age. Obviously, one can do many things by manipulating statistics. However, these simple facts dealing with the basic foundation stones of our society ought to be enough evidence to stir even the most indifferent observer of the current social turmoil. And since there seems to be no reverse in the apparent downward trend of our moral decline, concerned individuals frequently become worried, weary, and even full of despair. It is easy to feel like Jeremiah the prophet, as he watched the moral decline and witnessed firsthand the subsequent downfall of the society in which he lived. As moral conditions gradually worsened, Jeremiah realized that when the moral mortar of the brick wall of any society disintegrates, then the brick wall, the society itself, comes crashing down under its own weight. The prophet also understood that any society which thumbs its nose at God and the moral guidelines our Lord has established will experience judgment and destruction, which the Lord frequently permits to come upon godless nations. And yet, despite our clouded and uncertain future, all is not lost. In the midst of decline, there is reason for hope. Even as God permits His judgment to come, He is graciously aware of the faithful remnant, those who love righteousness and hate evil. Even if the worst comes to our society, God knows and will guard and provide for those who love righteousness and serve Him zealously. As in the days of Noah before the flood, when the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually, even then, after the entire population of the earth was wiped out, the handful who followed the Lord were saved. This is a lesson of hope for the righteous of our generation. In another situation, God destroyed the terrible wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But before He did it, He rescued the minority, Lot and his two daughters. As Jeremiah surveyed the situation in his day, he was tormented with the realization that the stubborn, godless society around him would soon be destroyed in a most terrible way by a ruthless invading nation. Oh, we may scoff at this today, but our failure to learn from history may only hurry our own destruction. Recently aired television documentaries have informed us that at this very moment, an enemy nation has enough missiles aimed at our country to wipe out 180 million people in a first strike which would last only a few minutes. Think of this. There is a good chance that one of these deadly and destructive weapons is now at this moment pointed in your direction, waiting only for the touch of a finger to be released. If this knowledge makes you worried and uneasy, take heart from the Lord's promise given to Jeremiah as his nation faced destruction. The Lord said, "I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes." Yes, Bible history demonstrates that God has frequently permitted aggressive and ruthless nations to conquer other nations inhabited by people who trusted in Him. And this same thing could rapidly occur in our present generation. Some people may consider as totally ridiculous the idea of war and destruction being only a few months or years away. But the older folks in our society who remember several wars prior realize how quickly things change. But no matter what happens, the coming months and years will certainly become increasingly difficult. God may even see fit to permit the cleansing of the worsening morality of our society by an opposing nation. Many today have drunk deeply from the poisonous rivers of licentious lust. They have enjoyed it, and now they are clamoring for more and faster. But rather than throwing up our hands, we should fold them, bow our heads, and pray daily, unceasingly, for the future of our society, for the clear vision of our leaders, and for the turning from unrighteousness by our population. This is our responsibility, yours and mine, in the sight of God. As we begin each day, we must be realistic. It may happen like the days of Noah, that the number of faithful followers of Christ will rapidly become so few that God will permit judgment to cleanse His people. How ridiculous this may seem to some. Religion in our society seems to be very prevalent. Millions claim belief in God. Headlines of major newspapers and magazines seem to demonstrate this. However, surveys indicate that, like in the days of Jeremiah, our religion is more one of lip service than of the heart. It is an empty religion which is an abomination to the Lord. Therefore, in these days, as God seeks to cleanse His people, even the righteous may suffer great difficulties. Like Jeremiah, however, who foresaw the destruction of his own society and even lived through it, you and I can receive strength and encouragement from the Lord who promised, "For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes." Receiving encouragement in life is never easy. It is always easier to talk about than to experience. Therefore, in every struggle in life, a broken marriage, poor health, financial failure, being forsaken by friends or family members, or even during the destruction of society itself, let us always cling to the greatest and most certain hope of all. It is beautifully described by the aged Apostle John, who had been banned to the island of Patmos during a terrible persecution. Listen as I read St. John's description directly from the Bible. "And I saw," he said, "a new heaven and a new earth. And in that place, God shall wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The former things are passed away." And Jesus said, "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes," said the Savior, "shall inherit these things." Yes, we live and long for heaven. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But Christians do not merely sit around and dream of heaven. Followers of Jesus Christ find meaning and fulfillment in life by following their Savior and imitating Him by serving others. Yet, while serving their Savior zealously, they retain St. Paul's words to the Colossians, "Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth." In Philippians chapter 2 we read, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Knowing this, let us daily sing with the hymn writer who wrote, "Therefore I murmur not, heaven is my home. Whate'er my earthly lot, heaven is my home. And I shall surely stand there at my Lord's right hand. Heaven is my fatherland, heaven is my home." In Jeremiah's day, even for the faithful, he could offer very little hope of immediate renewal. Imminent destruction was all but certain. And the question today is, if present trends are not reversed, will we soon also be facing the same certain judgment? In your mind, how necessary is it for us to be concerned with the present moral decline of our society? Do you accept or reject reports by the journalists of one of our leading news magazines that in our society there is a marked sense of economic, social, and moral decline? Scoffers of today make fun of clergymen who point out the seriousness of a society which departs from the basic God-given moral principles. The Ten Commandments are joked about as mere pious principles of the Puritans. But remember, in Jeremiah's day, the scoffers said the same thing. In chapter 5, we read their response to the prophets as they jeered. "Misfortune," they said, "will not come upon us. We will not see sword or famine. The prophets are as wind," they said. But the arrogance of these scoffers was short-lived. Destruction rapidly came. The Babylonian Empire increased in strength at a rate military men still marvel at today. The Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the city. They made slaves of the people and carried them away into ruthless captivity. Ladies and gentlemen, if Bible history has any relevance for our society, the question then is, will the same thing happen to us soon? Perhaps you are not interested in a clergyman's assessment of our current society's condition. Maybe you are one of those who see signs of improvement. If so, then listen closely to Mr. Yankelevich of the widely respected and oft-quoted prestigious polling company of Yankelevich, Skelly & White. After extensive analysis of present trends in our society, Mr. Yankelevich has observed that many people are interested in turning back to traditional values. However, he does not believe, and I repeat, he does not believe this will happen, because, as he points out, people will try to hold on to both things, both their new freedoms and their high standard of living. Mr. Yankelevich said, "We are in trouble because we have convinced ourselves we could have it all. Wealth without work and sexual freedom without marital problems." Or to say it another way, people today increasingly expect to live in sin and rebellion toward God, and at the same time expect to receive God's blessings from their phony lip service religion. And so, as you and I face the days ahead, which even our respected social leaders openly admit are extremely uncertain, filled with storm clouds and in moral decline, let us rest in the assuring and hope-giving words of our Savior. To Jeremiah, God said, "I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes." Jesus, reflecting the new covenant, promised in Jeremiah 31 and 32, stated, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In your days of struggle, Jesus promises you the strength of his resurrection. In your days of trial, Jesus promises you the power of his universal authority. In days when you contemplate the possibility of a worldwide nuclear holocaust, remember Jesus saying, "All power is given unto me." In the moments of your sinful mistakes and failures, Jesus promises you his constant intercession at the throne of the Heavenly Father. And even if you are now in a hospital bed or at home facing death itself, the Savior promises you everlasting joy and eternal bliss, as he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in the Father and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Then I will return and take you with me." Yes, while we have the strength, while there still is time, and while we have the precious privilege, let us respond to the Savior's call to be the salt of the earth, to work for righteousness, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to comfort all who mourn. Let us pray unceasingly and work unhesitatingly so that the judgment on our nation might be averted, and so that the good news of the forgiveness of sins, purchased not with gold or silver, but with the blood of Jesus Christ, might always be preached freely. And even if the worst should come, let us hold fast to the hope of the new city in the heavens, the one not made with human hands, a place where there will be no more worries, no more problems or tears, a place where financial uncertainty or even an enemy nation will never threaten us, a place where all who trust in the sin-cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ will be able to rest in the very presence of a gracious and merciful God forevermore, life everlasting. God grant this in Jesus' intercessory name. Amen.
Have been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.